This morning scripture reading is from Second Book of Samuel, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, and also chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, "Look, we are your bone and flesh. From some time, while Saul was king over us, it was you who led out Israel and brought it in. The Lord said to you, 'It is you who shall be shepherd of my people Israel, you who shall be ruler over Israel.' So all the elders of Israel came to the king of Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. At Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. And at Jerusalem, he reigned over all Israel and Judah 33 years. And continuing in the 6th chapter, David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. David and all the people with him set out and went from Baali, Judah, to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned on the cherubim. They carried the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill of Uzzah, and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were driving the new cart with the Ark of God, and Ahio went in front of the Ark. David and all the house of Israel were dancing before the Lord with all their might, with the songs and lyres and harps, in tambourines and castanets and cymbals." Here ends our reading for today.
Well, this last August, there was a new movie release. I don't know if you saw it. Where'd You Go, Bernadette? I'm not sure if you had a chance to view it. It's an interesting story of a successful architect who puts her career on hold to raise her daughter. And Bernadette begins to not only let her career, though, slip away, but she neglects the care of her own home. Shrubs and bushes start to grow crazy everywhere, and the vines and things even start to come inside the home. Bernadette outsources everything to an administrative assistant overseas who handles all her telephone calls and matters. And in a way, Bernadette seems like she has kind of lost a sense of herself through this, her way in life. Bernadette has even grown cold and a bit uncaring to neighbors, other parents at school, and anyone maybe other than her daughter, because her focused energy was pretty much for her daughter at this time. And one can't help to want to ask the question, "Where'd you go, Bernadette?" With a family intervention and hardships along the way, Bernadette comes to have an awakening of herself. She physically runs off to Antarctica, and all her loved ones truly now can say, not just emotionally, but physically, "Where are you, Bernadette?" In Bernadette's search of herself again, she rediscovers her gifts, passions, creativity, and inspiration that brings transformation in her life again to live fully. This new movie comes to my mind and thoughts when I begin to read the account of 1 and 2 Samuel, leading to our scripture text this morning. Eli the priest has 2 sons that grow up, and they begin to have no regard for the Lord. They begin to lose their way, and you almost want to ask the question, "Where'd you go, Eli, and your sons? Your family." And so God then turns to Samuel, and he grows in favor with God and the people. And God calls Samuel as a prophet to speak and minister to the people of Israel. And the people of Israel would turn their hearts from God. And you would ask the question, where'd you go, people of Israel? The Philistines would win battle against Israel and capture the Ark of God. This Ark symbolized the very presence of God that was taken away from the Israelites. And for over 20 years, this Ark would be in the possession of the Philistines, the enemy. And then Samuel had sons that did not follow in God's ways. And again, where'd you go, Samuel, sons and family? And now the people of Israel begin to ask for a king, like the other nations, to govern them. Israel's demand for a king is finally granted, and Saul is chosen as king. But Saul, too, would fall short of following God's commands. And again, one finds them asking, where'd you go, Saul? Where'd you go? And this brings us to our scripture text this morning. And David is now anointed king. King David fights the Philistines and is able to recover the Ark of the Covenant that was stolen in battle and in the enemy's possession for 20 years. And at first, David was reluctant to house the Ark of God in his city. Uzal, one of the men carrying the ark, had reached out to steady it en route, and the Lord struck him dead. Although it may seem like a stiff punishment for an honorable intention, God had made it very clear that God was too holy for mortals to look upon. The ark was too holy for anyone other than priests to touch. It's not that maybe God punished him for his behavior. No, the ark was simply too powerfully holy for Uzzah to endure. Nonetheless, David was afraid of the raw power of that the ark contained, and he left it in the care of the nearby household of Obed-Edom for 3 months. But then David learned that Obed-Edom's household was extremely blessed because of the ark. So David began to have courage, or maybe selfishly he wanted to have this blessing for himself. And so he finally brought the ark into his own home city. And once the ark was in its home, David was so overjoyed, he danced in the streets in his underwear. It was an ephod. That's priestly undergarments. Can you imagine dancing in your underwear in the streets, overjoyed with the joy of the Lord? And when David's wife, Michal, Saul's daughter, scolded him for his vulgarity, David proclaimed that he would do even crazier things than this for the joy of the Lord. Well, I wonder, what would it take for us to be so overjoyed with the Lord that we would leap and dance in the streets in any clothing? Nonetheless, underwear. What are those moments for us? I don't know about you, but I think of those moments where I have gotten lost. And where'd you go, Jared? Especially when I came back from Taiwan. Many of you know some of my story. After losing my job, my home, relationship, health, and forced to come back to the U.S., depressed and feeling far from God. And yet, God in grace helped me to realize unconditional love. That helped me to accept myself fully as a gay Christian. And I was able to turn my life around, find God, find myself. God blessed me with Howard. Maybe you can think of those moments for you in your life. Those moments so beautiful and rare that rejoicing is necessary. What are the moments you found God? You found yourself. Maybe moments of joy when a child was born. Moments you experienced love. Definitely moments that changed your career, changed your life. Those transition life moments. But do we limit rejoicing to those rare moments as God's beloved children? If we look, perhaps we might just find moments worth rejoicing more every day. Maybe we might dance, sing, go berserks, rejoice. God is worth it. God is worth it. Amen.